grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral and New Year greetings to you all. Glad to see you. If you're here visiting with us, a special welcome to you. If you're watching us by way of the YouTube live stream, we welcome you. And if you're listening in by the Cathedral Audio Podcast, we welcome you as well. Our bishop is presider and celebrant today, and we welcome you to this beginning of a new year. We're going to begin, as you'll find in your leaflet, with the responsory.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
From age to age, my mouth will proclaim your faithfulness. Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing.
From age to age, my mouth will proclaim your faithfulness. Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing.
I am persuaded that your love is established forever. You have set your faithfulness firmly in the heavens.
Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing.
The heavens bear witness to your wonders, O Lord, and to your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones.
Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing.
Who is like you, Lord God of hosts? O mighty Lord, your faithfulness is all around you.
Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing.
Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Love and truth go before your face.
Your love,
glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
From age to age, my mouth will proclaim your faithfulness. Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing.
God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose years never fail, and whose mercies are new each returning day, let the radiance of your Spirit renew our lives, warming our hearts and giving light to our minds, that we may pass through the coming year in joyful obedience and firm faith, through him who is the beginning and the end, your Son, Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the Old Testament reading.
A reading from the book of Ecclesiastes. For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stories, and a time to gather stories together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. Here ends the lesson.
The psalm appointed is Psalm 8. You'll find it on page 4 of the booklet. We join together in the refrain, both at the beginning and the end, and in the marked spaces. How exalted is your name in all the world. Lord our governor, how exalted is your name in all the world. Out of the mouths of infants and children, your majesty is praised above the heavens. You have set up a stronghold against your adversaries to quell the enemy and the avenger. How exalted. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses. What is man that you should be mindful of him? The son of man that you should seek him out? You have made him but a little lower than the angels. You adorn him with glory and honor. You gave him mastery over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, and even the wild beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever walks in the paths of the sea. O Lord, our governor, how exalted is your name in all the world. And now, reading of from the book of Revelation.
A reading from the Revelation to John. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left hand that are accursed, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." They will also answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ. As we stand, we bow our heads to pray. Gracious God, we pray that you will take my lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them, and by your Spirit, inspire us to follow your way. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Please sit down. I was reminded this morning by Carol as I came in that this is one of many New Years. And in fact, this is the civic New Year, and there are many other New Years, including the fact that the church has had a New Year now for about a month or so, with Advent, etc., etc. So to a degree, New Year is arbitrary. We just make it up, basically. But nonetheless, New Year is always regarded as a particular time when we consider the future probably more than we contemplate the past. And in the readings that we had today, particularly the two New Testament readings, the people to whom those letters and the gospel were written were people who were under pressure. Both of these readings in literary terms are known as apocalypses, which isn't easy to say after New Year's Eve, but nonetheless, apocalypses. And essentially, an apocalypse is to do with the end times. And we all know that the big apocalypse in the Bible is the book of Revelation, which we just had a part of a chapter read to us. But we are not so clear about the little apocalypse, but the little apocalypse is the part of Matthew's gospel in the sort of 20s. The 20s chapters are the little apocalypse. And again, the reading that I just read is from the little apocalypse. And so consequently, what we have in these readings are Matthew and John of Patmos writing things that are actually saying to the people who are feeling pressure that God is with them through the difficulties, and that ultimately the purposes of God will be worked out. And I know, and I've spoken about this several times and had lots of people say this to me, there's a feeling in our society, not necessarily that we're in apocalyptic times, but that we are in times of uncertainty. That today we're not sure what the future holds. And as I look back, as in history, and as most of you know, that's my first love and first degree, I see this confusion that exists today has existed in other times. And that confusion sometimes led to nothing, and sometimes led to terrible situations. The obvious time when it led to terrible situation was 1939, and the confusion that happened before then. I'm sure when you were living it, and obviously I didn't live it, you kind of didn't necessarily notice how bad things were getting. It's like the apocryphal story of the frog in the kettle. Not that that actually really works. Don't put frogs in kettles. They don't jump out, they just poach. But and unless you like poached frog, I mean, I suppose. But that period of time, people were concerned, but yet they thought that something would happen in the end and they wouldn't have to pass through the difficult times. But then again, if you go back into the 19th century, there were times during what they called the race for empire when it looked as if something was going to blow up, and then it kind of went down again until 1914 when something did blow up. And so we have these periods of time in history when things can look iffy and look as if something is going to happen. And as we enter this new year, we find ourselves in that questioning period. And the people to whom these two pieces of literature were written that we've just had read to us, the recipients of Matthew's gospel and those who read the book of Revelation, were people who were in that kind of strained situation. The people to whom Matthew's gospel was written, as far as we can work out, were a Jewish community who were concerned because obviously things were happening with them that indicated that their life was in danger, that their community was in danger. And they were anticipating, because of the way they looked at the words of Jesus during his lifetime, they were anticipating that Jesus would return pretty quickly. And he didn't show up. And they were asking questions about whether or not this story could be believed. And similarly, in the book of Revelation, we see that it was written at a time when church communities were under pressure. Some of those communities, as we read in the early part of the book of Revelation, kind of brought it on themselves. They lost their first love. They were neither hot nor cold, and those kind of phrases. And then others were finding themselves under pressure from the authorities within their particular region. And again, the question was, can God be trusted? Can God be trusted? And the underlying message of both the little apocalypse from Matthew and the Apocalypse written by John of Patmos is the same, essentially. Hold firm. Trust in God. God will ultimately be the one who holds the whole of history in his hand and will lead you through the troubled times. That's essentially the message. That no matter how extreme, and of course, particularly the book of Revelation uses imagery that is very extreme, no matter how extreme the circumstances, the faithfulness of God is to be trusted. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. The old will pass away. The whole of that idea. But the question then falls to us, and I think this is very important as we come into the new year, and a new year of uncertainty, perhaps. The question falls to us, if God is faithful to us, what does it look like to be faithful to God? As I said, the message of the Apocalypse is the faithfulness of God. But what does it look like for us to be faithful to God? And the words of Jesus give us that information in the reading that I just read from Matthew 25. We are to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, welcome the alien. All of those things. Give drinks to the thirsty, and so on. That is the essence of what our faithfulness looks like. Now, if you stop and think about that for a minute, what Jesus' words are saying to that, as reported by Matthew, are saying to that community is, despite the fact that it looks as though it's all falling apart, you still have to live as though you are a Christ-like figure, that you are doing the things that Jesus would do, even though it doesn't seem as if God is being faithful. Even though you're uncertain, continue to be faithful. And that, I believe, is the challenge for us as we go into a new year. How do we continue to be faithful? How do we continue to reach out in love to those who are in difficulty? How do we address issues like homelessness, like hunger? The list that Jesus gives is not fully expanded. Basically, Jesus is saying, treat those who are less than you with generosity, because that is the sign of the faithfulness of God. In the same way that God treats us with generosity, even though obviously we are less than he is. That's the essence. And as we come into a new year, that's where we're to reflect. That despite those situations which we find concerning, disconcerting, maybe even frightening, as those who would say we are followers of Christ, how do we live faithfully to the call of Christ? To love God and to love neighbor. And that is what I believe we need to reflect on this year, because I believe that in this whole world of feeling instability, there is a call for the followers of Christ to be the calm stability in the eye of the storm. Let's just take a moment to reflect. And also, would you turn in your booklet to the renewal of the covenant. We'll just take a moment remembering that, as I said, this is just a moment in time that's fairly arbitrary. And yet, as we gather together today, I'm not suggesting we make New Year's resolutions, but I am suggesting that we might think about how we covenant with God as God has covenanted with us to be more in the way that God has called us to be. God made a covenant with the people of Israel, calling them to be a holy nation, chosen to bear witness to his steadfast love by finding delight in the law. The covenant was renewed in Jesus Christ our Lord, in his life, work, death, and resurrection. In him all people may be set free from sin and its power, and united in love and obedience. In this covenant, God promises us new life in Christ. For our part, we promise to live no longer for ourselves, but for God. We meet, therefore, as generations have met before us, to renew the covenant which bound them and binds us to God. Let us then seek forgiveness for the sin by which we have denied God's claim upon us. Let us pray. God of mercy, hear us as we confess our sins. For the sin that has made us slow to learn from Christ, reluctant to follow him, and afraid to bear the cross, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, forgive.
For the sin that has caused the poverty of our worship, the formality and selfishness of our prayers, the neglect of fellowship, and the means of grace, and our hesitating witness for Christ, Lord, have mercy. For the sin that has led us to misuse your gifts, to evade our responsibilities, to fail to be good stewards of your creation, Lord, have mercy. For the sin that has made us unwilling to overcome evil with good, tolerant of injustice, quick to condemn, and selfish in sharing your love with others, Lord, have mercy.
Lord.
Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone, some of them pulled by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness and life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May the God of all healing and forgiveness draw us to himself, cleanse us from all our sins, that we may behold the glory of his Son, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Please stand. Beloved in Christ, let us again claim for ourselves this covenant which God has made with his people, and take upon us the yoke of Christ. This means that we are content that he appoint us to a place and work, and that he himself be our reward. Christ has many services to be done. Some are easy, others difficult. Some bring honor, others bring reproach. Some are suitable to our natural inclinations and material interests. Others are contrary to both. In some, we may please Christ and please ourselves. In others, we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. Yet the power to do all these things is given to us in Christ, who strengthens us. Therefore, let us make this covenant of God our own. Let us give ourselves to him, trusting in his promises and relying on his grace. We say together, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, your glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, may it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called children of God. We meet in the name of Christ and we share his peace.
The peace of the Lord
be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us offer one another a sign of peace.
Our hymn for the offertory is In the Bleak Midwinter.
of light, in the birth of your Son, we see your glory. May we who share in this mystery grow daily in your love. That this we ask in the name of Christ the Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right to thank and praise you, holy and gracious God, creator of all things, ruler of heaven and earth, sustainer of life. For you are the source of all goodness, rich in mercy and abounding in love. You are faithful to your people in every generation, and your word endures forever. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with the fellowship of saints and the company of heaven, we glorify your holy name, evermore praising you and saying, praise you, merciful Father, not as we ought, but as we are able. Because in your tender love you gave the world your only Son, in order that the world might be saved through him. He made you known by taking the form of a servant, healing the sick, liberating the oppressed, reaching out to the lost. Betrayed, reviled, and nailed to the cross, he confronted the power of sin and disarmed it forever. In his offering of himself, he became the perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Redeemed by Christ, we have been adopted as your children. By your pardon, you have made us worthy to praise you. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus at supper with his friends took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." In obedience to him and with grateful hearts, we approach your holy table, remembering our Savior's sacrifice and rejoicing in his victory. Confident in his sovereign purpose, we declare our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, that as we receive this bread and this cup, we may partake in the body and blood of Christ and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. May we be renewed in his risen life, filled with love and strengthened in our will to serve others. And make our lives, we pray, a pure and holy sacrifice, acceptable to you, knitting us together as one in your Son, Jesus Christ, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Please kneel or sit as you're able. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We break the bread of life, and that life is the light of the world. God, hear among us, light in the midst of us, bring us to life. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray.
All your works praise you, O Lord, and your faithful servants bless you. Gracious God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we who share in his body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, that we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Jesus is the Lord of time. Jesus is the image of God. Jesus, friend of sinners. Jesus, Lord of tomorrow. May God the Father keep you in all your days. May God the Son shield you in all your ways. May God the Spirit bring you healing. May the Holy Trinity drive all darkness from you and pour upon you blessing and light, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Happy New Year, everyone.